Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This long gospel is packed with a lot of food for teaching, but I want to focus on the second reading and on the gospel. And I want to suggest there are two thoughts to remember and for you to take away from this homily. First thought is light and darkness. Remember those words, light and darkness. And the second is good dog and bad dog. Remember that. There really are connections between these thoughts. And understanding these connections can be a life-changing experience for every person, especially since we are at the midpoint in this time of Lent leading up to Holy Week and Easter. In the second reading today, St. Paul is writing to the Christian community at Ephesus. When St. Paul repeats the word light six times just in these few verses in this reading, this is important, and we ought to listen up. Paul writes, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." At the time that St. Paul preached the gospel in Ephesus and was forming the early Christian community there, it was a major commercial trading center, the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire. Ephesus had a very pagan Gentile culture with many temples to the Roman gods, gods with a small g, who the Romans worshipped. The members of the Christian community that Paul was forming, they were not a large group. They were a distinct minority. They met mostly in house churches. And they were the ones who were primarily Gentile pagan converts. The darkness that Paul refers to is the misery of living in sin. If you look up the Greek word that he was using, that's what he's referring to, the misery of living in sin. The Greek word for light that Paul uses six times in these verses means light that is never kindled and never put out, a pretty unique Greek word for light. And only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could be the source of this light. St. Paul encourages this Christian community to live as children of the light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. When we live in the light of Christ, we reflect the goodness, righteousness, and truth of Jesus who lives in us. These are examples of virtues. When we live virtuous lives, we become a witness to others. We become what could be called a white martyr, not shedding our blood, but nonetheless being a martyr, a witness for Jesus Christ to those around us. The fruitless works of darkness that Paul mentions are sins and vices that separate us from God and from others. Sins and vices could be addictions, alcohol, drugs, pornography, gambling. Could be lying, stealing, or embezzling money or property, sex outside of marriage, abuse of a spouse or children, and on and on and on. When we expose sin and vice to the light of Christ, they become visible to us, and we're then able to name them, to claim them, and to tame them. In the gospel today, Jesus and his disciples come upon the man born blind. The disciples ask him, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, there was an understanding among the people of Israel that God blesses people who live by the covenant with God, which God had given, especially to Moses, to observe the law and the commandments, and that God punishes people who do not observe the covenant and the commandments. Among the horrible punishments cited is blindness. Jesus really brings a correction to this understanding as he is fulfilling the law and the prophets in his life and ministry. And he says that neither the blind man nor his parents had sinned, neither one of them. Rather, the man's blindness serves a greater purpose in God's plan for redeeming the world. And Jesus said it is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. Jesus then says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Here's that word light again. Jesus then proceeds to do a work of God, something that only God could do. Jesus makes clay with dirt on the ground and his own saliva. You see the symbolism from Genesis and when we read God formed man out of the clay of the ground. Jesus rubs the clay on the blind man's eyes, directing him to wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. The blind man followed Jesus' directions and he could see. Jesus, the light of the world, physically healed the man born blind, giving him sight that he never had before. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He then has conversations with the man born blind, his parents, and the Pharisees. The man born blind said, "The man called Jesus gave him sight." When the Pharisees asked him about Jesus who healed him, he replied, "He is a prophet." And Jesus then asked the man who was formerly blind, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Referring to himself, of course. The man born blind responds, "I do believe, Lord." Look at the progression in the man, in the understanding of the man who was once blind, of Jesus who gave him sight. He calls Jesus first a man. Then he calls him a prophet. And finally, he calls him Lord. Jesus has led this man on a path of understanding and giving him, working in him a spiritual healing in which his eyes, his heart, and his mind are open to the truth of who Jesus is. And from that point on, this man began living in the light of Christ. We don't know the rest of the story about him, but Jesus healed him physically and in a spiritual way as well, opening his eyes to the truth. Each of us has a lifetime journey in the Christian life, striving to grow in living holy lives. St. Paul encouraged the Christian community at Ephesus, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This is how we live our lives in the light rather than in the darkness around us, especially in today's culture and society. This is how striving to learn and to live virtue and to avoid vice helps us to live holy lives, grow closer to Jesus, who we want to call the Lord of our lives. Among the Native American people, there's a traditional type of a proverb that may help our understanding of living in the light rather than in darkness. And here it goes. A tribal elder is teaching his grandson about life. And he says, "There's a fight going on in me." This is the tribal elder saying, "This fight is going on in me between two dogs. One dog is bad or evil. This dog is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, pride, superiority, and ego. The other dog is good. This dog is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." This same fight between the bad dog and the good dog is going on inside of you, he's saying to his grandson, and every other person. The grandson thought for a moment and asked his grandfather, "Which dog will win this fight?" His grandfather replied, "The one you feed. The one you feed." Each of us can reflect on this good dog and bad dog proverb. Which dog am I feeding? What's the impact of my choices and decisions on which dog I'm feeding? Not just for me, but for the people around me. The characteristics of the good dog are nearly identical to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. These characteristics that we know in a person's life are evidence that this individual is striving to live and might make choices that are pleasing to the Lord. It's evidence of the life of the Holy Spirit in us that we receive in our baptism and confirmation. We are at the halfway point in our journey of growing closer to Jesus as we approach the celebration of his passion, death, and resurrection at Easter. I encourage each of us, and I'm doing this too, to reflect on, am I living in the light of Christ, or am I weighed down by darkness? Darkness of vice and sin. By my choices, am I feeding the good dog, or am I feeding the bad dog? If you haven't been to confession and received the sacrament of reconciliation recently, there's about 2.5 weeks left at most parishes when we can go to confession before Easter. The power and the beauty of the sacrament of confession is that in confessing our sins and vices, they come into the light of Christ. And it's Jesus himself who forgives us of our sins and vices through the absolution words of the priest acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, in this beautiful sacrament. There's a regional reconciliation service at 2 p.m. this Sunday afternoon, March 19th, at our St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in East Lansing, and also at St. Gerard Parish on the west side of Lansing. There will be several priests hearing confessions at both parish sites. You can go to confession to a priest you know or to one you don't know. Take advantage of this opportunity to receive the forgiveness and the spiritual healing of Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation. Speaking for myself as a cradle Catholic, I'm still on this journey to growing in holiness. I am a sinner. I need to receive God's mercy in my life. I know that. When I receive the sacrament of reconciliation, no matter what sins I confess, I come away knowing that God has forgiven me and that a burden has been lifted from my life. I'm continuing my own journey with the goal being living eternal life in heaven, the Blessed Trinity, the Blessed Mother, and all the saints. And I encourage each person to seek and receive God's mercy often. God always, always is merciful to every person who seeks and asks for his mercy.